We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Welcome again to the news quiz. We start with an item seen in the small ads of the Blackpool Gazette, read by Corrie Caulfield.
Organic horse manure, approximately 50 tonnes. Free to genuine person, must collect. Product of practical joke.
Thanks to Mavis Cross of Thornton Cleveleys for sending that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Linda Smith and Felix Dexter. And on my left, Alan Corran and Michael White. We start round one with a question to Linda. Linda, whose war of words with Oxford was in a class of its own?
Oh, this is the question I had last week, isn't it?
Damn.
Sort of.
Right. Felix, you're... No, it sort of is, isn't it? Well, it's sort of part two. It's moved on, it's part two.
So, in a sense, this is a rollover week, so that means extra points, surely. It's just last week there was this woman from the North East who was refused admission to Oxford, and there's been a big furore about it. And now the latest is this man who was part of the selection committee, Professor Stein, I believe, who is the brother of the fishman off the telly, just a bit of trivia, because I did read this news item in Hello. He is saying this is outrageous that he should be called elitist when he's done so much over the years to try and make Oxford more open to peasants. And dyslexia, he's done a lot of work with dyslexia, a lot of research into that, which the government has declined the opportunity to fund, apparently, although expressing a lot of interest in it. So, well, I suppose the first thing you could do is make it a less hard word to spell. I think that would help dyslexics, really, because they're having a laugh with that, aren't they, dyslexia. It's like a bundle of Scrabble tiles they've just thrown down. Oh, that'll do. What we call it? Dyslexia. And also stop with this maudlin Magdalene business as well, which I referred to last week. Because that foxes all of us, but a dyslexic must think you are really having a laugh with that. So that's what this is, Simon.
But isn't it interesting that there has been such a kind of shock and furore about supposedly Oxbridge being elitist? What else are we going to learn? That Prince Philip hasn't got any Chinese mates that come round and drink with him every night? Or Indian mates, or black mates, or mates even?
John Prescott threatened Oxford and other top universities with cash penalties unless they did more to admit state school pupils in the continuing row over Laura Spence. Oxford professor John Stein retaliated with an attack on Labour, saying it had failed to fund his pioneering work to help dyslexic students, one of whom described the government as a bunch of bowsy lastards. Felix, welcome to the news quiz. How did the man from Stagecoach hijack the democratic process?
This has got to be the story about Clause 28, or a privately funded referendum, if you like, in Scotland about Clause 28. And the result was that they wanted to retain Clause 28. As you know, Clause 28 is the clause that supposedly bans the promotion of homosexuality in schools. And this guy, Mr. Souter, I believe, is actually...
Rendered to his friends.
Yeah. He's the owner of a bus company. And I'm wondering if he's taking this notion that on no circumstances should you enter at the rear a bit too far, you know?
Hang on.
He's actually taken a sign which is on buses into a precept of morality, surely, you know? But to me, this whole notion, anyway, that you're supposedly promoting homosexuality in schools, it's a bit weird. I mean, how do you actually promote homosexuality in schools?
The idea that teachers can promote anything to kids is quite optimistic. I seem to remember Mr. Evans, the chemistry teacher, was quite keen to promote the idea that the Bunsen burner was not a toy, but it didn't really catch on. Also, it's a bit annoying. He keeps talking about democracy, this Souter character. I don't know if anyone saw him on Question Time, an awful fishy-eyed creature with bad skin who talks about, oh, they have to listen to democracy. We seem to think democracy means one bloke telling us what we should do. That's not democracy. He's got to get a bus company. It's not big or clever or grown up at all. So he should run his bus company. It's rubbish anyway, Stagecoach. I could have a referendum. I could do one now and we could call that democracy. Who thinks that Brian Souter is a fishy-eyed creature with bad skin? I would say that with my scientific equipment here, that was an almost 100% from the most intelligent audience in radio.
Catholic leaders like Cardinal Winning have said there's no place for homosexuality in Scotland, which displays not only a shocking intolerance of his fellow human beings, but a remarkable ignorance of the priesthood. 2 points to Felix Michael. Why has John Prescott done a U-turn?
Johnny P has allegedly, according to the newspapers, got hold of lots more money, some of which he's going to give to the trains, of course, and unavoidably probably have to give some to Ken Livingstone, but some of which, Simon, and this is the good bit for you, he's going to put back into roads. And I must say, they do count the money quite a lot. You know, it's the old three-card trick, really. The 140 billion over 10 years is, I think, has already been counted three times for the NHS, Alan. Mm-hmm. Would that be right? Mm-hmm. Same money. And we're all getting a bit bewildered. But when I got stuck in the tube this morning, I was very grateful that Mr. Prescott had got the money.
He wasn't there. He usually is on the tube, isn't he, these days?
He is sometimes there trying to keep the passengers in order. But then sometimes, of necessity, when Pauline's been to the hairdresser's, he has to use the car. One of the cars. It's rotten, isn't it? Isn't it rotten how we pick on Prescott?
No. Mr. Prescott is said to have won £140 billion from the Treasury, which is the equivalent of two first-class Virgin Rail tickets to Glasgow. So, 2 points to Michael. Alan, what one, two or three things were wrong with Labour's NHS census?
I was just thinking about two first-class virgins on a train. They handed out 12 million leaflets to patients saying what is wrong with the National Health Service, because they didn't know, they being only the government in charge of putting it right or indeed putting it wrong. And they gave it out on the wrong day. And the wording of the leaflet was such that the patients thought it was too late to fill it in. Now, quite clearly, there's a waiting list for leaflets about the NHS. You have to get on it in 1983, and eventually the government gets around to asking you what's wrong with it. And I think that was it. Was there anything else wrong with it?
No, that's absolutely the right answer. Health Secretary Alan Milne was forced to apologise after the government admitted its £500,000 NHS census was so badly worded it gave the impression it was already too late to send the leaflet back in. Alan Milne is furious about the cock-up and has demanded a report be on his desk by Wednesday last week. The government has responded...
Did you actually see the leaflet?
No, of course not.
It was extraordinary.
It was in hospital.
Do you know any doctors?
Yeah, I do. They filed past my door.
You're married to one, aren't you?
I go into a waiting room, take my clothes off, it's like lightning. I'm like lightning.
Does she do the tricky operations as well as you get a friend in?
Oh, yeah, she's read all the books.
Mm. Okay.
69 tricky operations a day.
The government also announced plans this week for radical new walk-in centres, which would be open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, where operations could take place within a matter of hours. Britain once had a network very similar to these in the olden days. They were known as hospitals. So the scores at the end of round one are everybody 4 points. And we start round two with an item seen in the accommodation section of the Birmingham Evening Mail.
Brixham, three-bedroom family house near the sea, accommodating 518.
Our thanks to Mrs. Jordan of Harborne for sending that. Linda, who didn't like the look of the little shipping forecast.
Little shipping forecast. This is the reenactment of the Dunkirk evacuation for the 60th anniversary, which was to happen on Thursday, but didn't because the weather was a bit murky. So hardly the Dunkirk spirit, I would have said, really. That would have been no good, would it? 60 years ago. I don't like the look of it. It could turn. It'd be no good if you're waiting on the beach to be rescued with it. So weather permitting, there will be a reenactment of the little ships going to Dunkirk. Of course, there'll be no one to evacuate now, so I suppose they'll just have a picnic at the side of the boat, pick up some cheap booze and fags and come back again. But just stirring stuff, I'm sure you'll agree. There's an honorary commodore, it's a commodore, isn't it, leader of a flotilla? It's an honorary commodore, made this statement saying that because, you know, a lot of the ships were very old, he said, getting this lot across this busy shipping channel is a bit like getting a bunch of geriatrics across the M25 at rush hour. Unfortunate phrase, I thought, but I thought also, you've probably not seen the M25 recently at rush hour, because you'd have no trouble getting a bunch of geriatrics. They could do a jigsaw in the middle, actually.
we Britons are famous for celebrating our disasters. We cheered the charge of the Light Brigade. We turned Scott of the Antarctic into a national hero, and we're already preparing the street parties for England's return home after the first round of Euro 2000. 2 points still in the... Felix, how might England's footballers avoid paying the penalty of defeat?
Oh, is there some story about the science of motion or something, the science of penalty taking? Is that
yes,
the thing?
The Department of Penalty Taking.
But what's strange about that is they haven't got like a department about the science of winning the match, so you don't need to take the penalty in the first place. No. That would make more sense, wouldn't it, really?
It is the University of Wales. They're starting slowly.
I must admit, you think of Gareth Southgate, you don't think of the word scientist in the same sentence, to be honest.
The important thing is the FA has refused to use it. The trouble is the Germans have actually had this for 5 years and been acting on it, taking very good penalties. It's like Werner von Braun. I mean, they had the doodle bug first, and they've now... and the Welsh have built this sort of android footballer based on Beckham, which they feed into a computer. It's a Lara Croft thing. You can see Beckham wandering off thinking about Lara Croft. And it can now be programmed to show the angle of the knee, the foot, and the ideal point to hit the ball so it goes into the corner of the net. Which is wonderful. You can take a computer to Euro 2000 and be all right. But the FA has turned it down, saying, no, the lads will carry on as before. We don't want any of this science. Leave that to the Germans. So the Germans will win.
Exactly right, yes. Researchers at the University of Wales believe they can create the scientific conditions to improve our penalty taking. Research shows how footballers can use their bodies to fool goalkeepers into going the wrong way, or, in the case of Gaza, blocking out the light. Alan, why might Lara Croft soon not be the only female British combat veteran?
Lara Croft is that inflatable woman that appears on television, if you've got a video game, isn't she?
Well, she's not inflatable, but she...
I mean, she is. I mean, she's sort of cardboard pornography.
Well, it took me hours.
I think it's because women are going to serve in the front line. We're having the question about the this wonderful exercise bra.
No, we're not.
It's a wonderful story.
I'll give you an extra point if you answer the question about the exercise bra.
The exercise bra is sensational. There is an exercise bra that carries an electronic sensor which changes the shape of a woman's bust as she's running. When she runs harder, because I gather the things stuck on the front of women change differentially with the speed of the feet, this exercise bra takes it all into account. I mean, you can start off as Vanessa Feltz and end up as Mia Farrow if you're hiking around Regent's Park at a bit of a lick, and they've developed this wonderful bra with a tag that senses breasts. It's wonderful. It gives them a bit of a tweak, and if they're bouncing too much, it sort of tightens the straps. Excellent. They'll need them in the front line. Yes, we're going to kill more women. Women are going over the top. The MOD.
That's not a new story.
Equal Opportunities sat down with the MOD and said, we've got to kill more women. This is ridiculous. I've looked at the figures for Passchendaele. Not a single woman died. And in the next lot, we really want a lot of women. We've been shooting women, and we find they die quite as easily as men, so we're going to use them in the war. We're going to kill them. We're going to give them guns, and that'll be terrific.
Correct. The government has commissioned a study of combat effectiveness and gender to test female soldiers' ability to serve as frontline combat troops. And the scores at the end of round two are Linda and Felix, 8. But Alan and Michael, thanks to my completely unfair scoring system, have leapt into the lead with 9 points. And we start round three with an item seen in the Seaton Weekly News.
At the May meeting of the Axminster Flower Club, Mrs. Virginia Tenbrook demonstrated how to create a hat with just a block of oasis, flowers and foliage, followed by her impression of a waterfall.
Thanks to Liz Wheeldon for that. Felix, why should the Italian army's motto be Wayne, Wady, where the hell are we?
Oh, yeah, I know this one. This is a story about a NATO exercise, and the Italian army was supposed to, as part of this exercise, invade a town called Christiansted in Denmark. But unfortunately for them, or the fact that they're very bad at navigation, there's also another town called Christiansted in Sweden. So they ended up invading the Swedish place rather than the Danish one, and the Swedes were like completely bemused, you know. Obviously they did this because they were ABBA fans, I suppose. I couldn't understand it.
It's not that. They're Italians. They march backwards. They can't see the signposts. It's very... Especially at speed.
I'd like to ask, but do they have women in this army?
Yeah, you were supposed to read the match.
I tell you what, that Michael White, when he's got a few beers inside him. Leery, hey, a bit leery. Yeah. It's all guardian this, yeah. Guardian this, yeah. All day. Then at night it's... Birds!
It's the news that 116 members of the Italian Army's crack Alpini unit, scheduled to move into Norway for NATO exercises, accidentally invaded Sweden instead. The latest error may explain how it is that America was discovered by an Italian who thought he was taking a quick route to China. Michael, which would-be mugger got plenty of stick and ended up well and truly broke?
Oh, this is a terrific story. This is the most heartening story of the week for law and order vigilantes like myself. Some hooligan in Leicester, weighing 15 stone, as I remember the court case, leapt upon two old ladies called Hilda and Sheila, I think it was, aged 71 and 79. Hilda was quite tiny, but I didn't like the look of Sheila, and attempted to rob them, whereupon the old ducks, falling to their feet, lashed out with their sticks and broke his ankle. It was wonderful. And he had to get out his mobile. They all have mobiles, don't they? Not to ring his dealer, but to ring the police and ask them to come and rescue him. And then the really pleasing bit was, such was his vanity, the lout, that when the law arrived, he told them he'd been set upon by five boys with crowbars.
It's a little poser for Jack Straw and Derry Irvin in the DPP, isn't it? Because these two old ladies should be doing 6 months now. For,
No. They're going
strung
to,
up.
No, they're going to organise them as a force.
It's quite appalling, though. When I read that story, I really was shocked. I thought, this is really sad. You know, I mean, the standard of mugging nowadays is terrible, isn't it, really?
Frape described in court how he lay cowering on the ground as the two grandmothers stood over him, wielding their sticks, screaming abuse, and tucking his shirt in. The two ladies say they'll use their £1,000 compensation to take a holiday somewhere they've always dreamed of going to, Sierra Leone. Alan, whose continuing drive for fatherhood has been well and truly ballsed up.
Yes. Don't really want this one. My scrotum must be shrinking by now. This is,
This is
for the scrotally... Take your hands off that. This is for the...
Put your pants back on.
This is for the scrotally challenged. Apparently long-distance lorry drivers and other people who, in sedentary occupations, lower their sperm count because they sit in hot seats, which warm up their beep, and and this does something to the sperm, and they come out warm, or roast, or parboiled, or something. And the last thing a woman wants is a parboiled tadpole up her uterus, because you produce these extremely pink children. I don't know, why do you give me that question? You knew I would have read it in every paper, committed it to memory and never driven again, didn't you?
There was another report this week, a complimentary report, Alan, about men who ride bicycles with little narrow saddles, which, oddly enough, are designed for men. That also has a damaging effect on the sperm count. You can get pulled over by the police and say, sorry, sir, we've just clocked you. Your sperm count's over the odds, and that'll be £5. And they recommend that you buy saddles designed for women and get laughed at.
Mm. I personally find it quite reassuring that lorry drivers can't have children. I think it's dangerous enough using the mobile phone. Eyes on the road, I think.
Yes, a report published in the journal Human Reproduction by the French research group Toulouse found that men who spend long periods
what
sitting
behind
Toulouse, indeed.
Toulouse is too long, yeah, I know. Thank you, Jimmy Jewell. Carry on, Simon.
Yeah. The press conference was called to discuss the findings, which had to be cancelled when all the journalists flatly refused to sit down. Linda, which establishment north of the border was having its goose cooked by the establishment?
Oh, this is a lovely story. This is the story of the Duke and Duchess of Hamilton, mm-hmm. I believe, who are boycotting Jenner's, the department store in Edinburgh, because they stock foie gras, which is apparently a cruelly produced goose liver. Sounds disgusting. But anyway, fantastic bit of class war from the Duke and Duchess. Direct political action, boycotting the shop, and they're standing outside going, here one doesn't go, here one doesn't go, here one doesn't go, and generally having a right go about this goose liver thing. And there's a lovely quote from the Duke, it's marvellous, where he said that, I tried it once, foie gras, and it wasn't good enough to justify the cruelty. But that is marvellous. problem. It's like this is scale of cruelty that he's got. That some things, you know, like a bacon sandwich, for example, I'd hand over my entire family to the Stasi. But I don't understand this. I've never eaten foie gras, but it seems to me a bizarre way of going about getting this big-livered goose is to feed it millions. Why don't they just eat a bigger goose, really, with a bigger liver? I don't understand it.
Because none of the waste product is supposed to escape. It's not cruel at all, really. You bang a cork up a goose's arse and step on its neck. This causes liver to swell.
Yum, yum.
It's perfectly
hungry,
easy.
Anyone?
And then you have to eat it. Yes, the really cruel thing is eating it. You think, God, where has it been?
Oh, I don't
know. Very nasty.
But I know it's un-PC to say it, but posh people are funny, aren't they? They really are funny. I don't understand their little ways. Their food is weird. I once... crystallised fruits, that's a disgusting thing. Have you ever had that? It's like fruit that's force-fed sugar until it's completely inedible. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And the things they say. A posh friend at university went to their house once, and their mother said, Toby, why don't you take your friend out to see the gazebo? I thought I was going to see a lovely little antelope running around. It was half a shed. I don't understand their ways.
Jenna's department store in Edinburgh is being boycotted by the Duke of Hamilton because it rejected his wife's appeal for it to stop selling foie gras. Jenna sells only the highest quality delicacies. Their foie gras comes from Provence, their haggis is strictly organic, and their Mars bars are deep-fried in only extra virgin olive oil. 2 points to Linda. Michael, which German interviewer's borderline journalism left him seeing anything but stars?
Alan?
It's not a German interview.
Not so mouthy now.
The nearest thing I have to a German interviewer?
Absolutely no idea.
German interviewers, borderline journalism.
I just hope Linda Smith doesn't know.
Is he on a border somewhere, is it?
No, nothing to do with borders.
Borderline
German interviewers, borderline journalism. He saw nothing but stars.
No, birds involved. Not interested, Michael, are you?
You heartless woman. Give us a clue. Come on, Simon. We've known each other for years.
There was a German interviewer.
Hollywood.
Thank you, Hollywood. Yes, Hollywood. It's a good clue. Anyone would like a vowel?
Can I ring a friend?
Yes, but his name is Alan Corran.
Yeah, got it completely now. Yeah, Hollywood. Thank you. Point to the man in the audience. Yeah, one of these things which, you know, makes you feel so proud to be in the street of shame. This German interviewer for the Süddeutsche Zeitung had been filing brilliant interviews for years with everybody in Hollywood, everybody in sight, and all the rivals from the Frankfurter Allgemeine and so on and so forth were getting calls from the office. Why can't you go for a weekend with Robert Redford? Why doesn't Michelle Pfeiffer invite you around to her place in Malibu? And one of the investigative magazines checked it out, and you know what's coming, of course, the bloke was making it up. And when texted about this, he was admirably unembarrassed for a man in his line of work and said that he worked in a line between fact and fiction, and these particular interviews were more fiction than fact, really. He'll probably get promoted.
Yes. Fellow journalist first caught on to Mr. Kummer's fabrications after an article in which Britney Spears talked at length about her great admiration for Gordon Brown's work on post-neoclassical endogenous growth theory. Mr. Kummer said he knew God would see him through this ordeal, particularly after the exclusive chat he'd had with him last Tuesday. Alan, which trick photograph turned a pensioner into a two-timing love rat?
It's really rather sad. There's an 80-year-old bloke who was seen on the cover of a holiday brochure, ostensibly dancing with a woman, not his wife. But this was, in fact, a gerrymandered or fiddled-with photograph, which they can do these days in disreputable brochure companies. And his wife got very upset because she said, that woman is not me, or that man is not me, or whoever he was dancing with. And he got very upset. It isn't much of a story. But it's the best I can do. I would rather do the one about Mrs. Stella Young of Bridgewater, who was fired in a catapult.
That's good.
Formed a deep and lasting relationship with a man who spent 2 years building a catapult so he could fire her straight up for 70 feet and 150 feet into a net, which he bounced out of. And the thing I liked about her, she's the chairman of the Bridgewater Citizens Advice Bureau. You really wouldn't want to go in there, would you? Hello, Mrs. Young, once you're out of plaster. How can I make my marriage better? Do something, Simon.
Yes, right.
Move on. Chair, baby, chair.
80-year-old Bill Easterbrook was shocked to find a photo of himself in a holiday brochure dancing with a woman he'd never met. The spokesman for First Choice said the photograph had been touched up, which was exactly what Mr. Easterbrook seemed to be doing. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Linda.
This is a cutting sent in by VWA Lane of Guernsey. It's not from the newspaper, it's from one of their daughter's Pokemon cards. Machoke, to be exact. I'm not sure about the pronunciation there. Machoke?
Oh, right.
Yeah. The description of this Pokemon at the bottom of the card reads, "Its muscular body is so powerful that it must wear a power-save belt to help regulate its motions."
Felix.
This is from Dr. Mark Kaplan. Assault with a frozen squirrel. A man who hit his wife with a frozen squirrel has been jailed by California police. Cao K. Sepan, 26, took several squirrels from his freezer during an argument, his wife told officers in Sacramento. When she walked into the kitchen, her husband swung the squirrels at her and hit her on the head. She fell against a table and suffered a gash above her eye. Police could not immediately say why the squirrels were in the freezer.
Michael.
BC Nooms of Surbiton sends in an item from the Phantom column of the Hot Press magazine in Ireland. A friend of the Phantom was waiting to cross busy Suffolk Street in Dublin the other day when an American tourist joined him on the pavement. Just then the traffic lights changed, emitting their familiar electronic bleep. "What noise is that?" said the American, evidently perplexed. Being a friendly sort, the Phantom's friend explained that the sound was meant to alert blind people to the fact that the lights had changed. "Gee," said the American, clearly amazed. "You know, back in the States, we don't even allow blind people to drive."
Alan. I have one for the International Herald Tribune, Simon. It says a dozen marksmen from the Los Angeles Police Department SWAT unit surrounded the Sundowner Motel in Pasadena at 3 a.m. last Tuesday after the owner reported hearing a gunshot from one of the cabins. When officers forced the door, the terrified and then somewhat embarrassed occupant explained that his inflatable companion had burst.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score. Linda and Felix have an excellent 14, but Alan and Michael have pipped them this week with 19 points. And before we leave you, here's an item sent in to us by S. Baffadari.
A cast of thousands, including racehorses, bulls, camels, chickens and dogs, will join a parade celebrating the 100th birthday of the Queen Mother. Her daughter, Elizabeth, will not be one of them.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz for Alan Corrin, Linda Smith, Michael White and Felix Dexter. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Corrie Caulfield. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.